We're doing Gemara Shana, Dachvav Amud Beis. Boy Rabbi Zeira asked another question. Isha Amai Beval Te'achir. Does the prohibition of delaying one's sacrifices apply to women? Me'amrinan alo mechayve biriya. Do we say she's not obligated to show her face up at the Temple Mount at the time of the holidays? And we saw that the Torah equates it to. The Torah says, when you come up to my Temple Mount on the holidays, bring the sacrifice along with you. Do not delay. Well, if she's not obligated to come up and show herself at the Temple Mount, she's not obligated leheiraot, so to speak, to be seen up there, then maybe she's also not obligated to bring her sacrifices on time. Or dinmar, maybe haita besimcha. But wait a second, she is supposed to partake of the rejoicing of the festivities, and partaking of the rejoicing involves being up there and eating from the shalmei simcha, from the meat of the sacrifices that were brought for that purpose of happiness. So being that she does have to come up technically in order to partake of the happiness of the festivities of eating from the shalmei simcha, of the meat of rejoicing, maybe that's considered, that she has to show herself at the Temple Mount, and then she would be obligated to bring her sacrifices on time. So that was Rav Zeira's question. Well, you know, you should derive from the fact that she is obligated to show herself and partake of the happiness. The Gemara says, wait a second, Abaye said that? Did Abaye really say that? Abaye said a woman has no obligation to be happy. The obligation is on her husband to make her happy. She doesn't have to be happy. He's got a mitzvah, make your wife happy. Give her some meat, get her nice clothing, get her good wine. Make her happy in honor of the holiday. She doesn't have a mitzvah to become happy. He has a mitzvah to make her happy. It's an interesting mitzvah. So if it's not her mitzvah, it's his mitzvah, so then how could you say she's obligated with Baal Te'acher because she has to be up there to eat from the meat to partake in the happiness? So that the Gemara answers, you're right, Abaye really holds she does not have to go up there. Abaye was just saying, according to you, Rabbi Zeira, you hold she has to... You hold she does have a mitzvah to be happy. She does have to partake. I hold she has no mitzvah. I hold it's all her husband's mitzvah. But according to you, well, if she has a mitzvah to partake of the sacrifices of happiness, then that encompasses this idea as well, and therefore she would be obligated with Baal Te'acher. So that's the Gemara's conclusion, and the Rambam paskins that a woman is obligated with Baal Te'acher. There's a lot to discuss about that Rambam, but that's for when we learn Kedushin, not for here. Yes, it's a lil.
So what's the point of a mitzvah that might not be fulfilled by the other person?
What's the point to have a mitzvah to give tzedakah if the poor man won't necessarily take it from you? Says the Avudram, we have a slew of mitzvos that are contingent on someone else. We don't make blessings on those mitzvahs because you never know if you'll fulfill them. You have a mitzvah to honor your parents. What's the point of having a mitzvah when it's not in your hands? We have many mitzvahs that are not in our hands. We do the best we can. Either we succeed or we don't. There are a lot of mitzvahs that way. Back to the Gemara. And now the Gemara is going to teach us about Bechor. And before we begin this Gemara, I want us to learn the Rambam about Bechor, because I want you guys to get used to using the Rambam. The Rambam is a very good work in many ways. He doesn't need my approval, but he's a good work for us to use as a tool. Number one, it's written all in Hebrew. It's not in Aramaic, so it's easy to understand. Number two, it's very organized. So you don't know what you're talking about. You open up a Rambam, you start, you understand. He organizes things. You open a Mishnah is Shabbos, you got to wait till you hit chapter 7 to read Yavos Malachos. What are we talking about? What's a Malach on Shabbos? Wait till you're in chapter 7, Mishnah 2, then you'll get there. You open up a Rambam, he begins by telling you, these are the mitzvahs of Shabbos, this is what Chayiv means in Shabbos, this is what Potter means in Shabbos, this is what you're allowed to do, this is what you're not allowed to do. It's all very misudar. It's all very organized. So here we're about to learn about a Bechor, and we have to understand what are the concepts of a Bechor. What is this mitzvah of Bechor? So yes, theoretically we should all know this, but practically we don't. So let's open up a Rambam, Hilchos Bechoros, in Korbonos. We have a sefer called Bechoros. How many books are in the Rambam? 14. Gematria Yad. Yad HaChazaka. Yad, 14. Okay, so it's also easy to find things, because the Rambam divided his 14 books into headings. Hilchot Bechorot. It is in Korbanot. So you are in Avodah. You are in the book of Avodah. Move forward to Korbanot. Then you have Ilchot Korban Pesach, after which you have Ilchot Chagigah, and then Ilchot Bechorot. Here in, no, before Shigagot. How did I know to look in Hilchos Bechoros, gentlemen? Well, you look in the Ein Mishpat, right? There's a little letter Vav on the second to last word on the Daf. Habitam. See that little letter Vav? Habitam corresponds up here to the Ein Mishpat, which tells you Rambam Hilchos Bechoros. Okay, Yehuda, look at the Gemara. There you are. Okay, Yehuda, Betzalel, take a peek in the Gemara 1 second. Habitam, you see that little letter Vav? That's from the Ein Mishpat. It corresponds to up here, the Vav. And if you look in the Ein Mishpat, it tells you Maimonides, right? Maimon, Mem Yud Yud. That's Maimonides, that's Rambam, Terek Aleph. See that little Vav? You see it? In the Ein Mishpat? Right there. Little Vav corresponds to the Ein Mishpat up on the right. And that tells us to look in Maimonides, Hilchot Bechorot, Perek Aleph Halachachet. So, once we're going to start with Perek Aleph, we're going to see the Rambam from scratch. Betzalel, you see it? You see the Ein Mishpat? So I can't help you with that. I could give you my glasses.
No, I can't see not the small letters. We have any I see the image, but I see the box.
Right, you got to ignore the big letters in the Ein Mishpat. Right, very good. I forgot to mention that. Very good. I don't even see them anymore. Okay. Hilchot Bechorot, says the Rambam, Yesh Bichlalan, Chamesh Mitzvot, Shtei Mitzvot Asev, Shadosh Mitzvot Lot Asev. There are 5 mitzvot in Hilchos Bechoros. Yeah, I'm reading right under the heading. It's always good to start at the beginning. Just under that big airplane. You see that bomber over there? See that airplane above the words of Hilchos Bechoros? Then don't you see the airplane? It's flying straight at you. Okay, so right under that you have Hilchos Bechoros. Yesh Bichlalan Chamesh Mitzvot. The Rambam always begins by telling us how many biblical mitzvot are we going to learn about in these halachos. 2 mitzvot asay, 3 mitzvot lo asay. And the Rambam, before writing his great work of Yad HaChazaka, wrote the Sefer HaMitzvot to ensure he didn't leave anything out. Yeah, did we discuss this yesterday? No, okay. I discussed it in Katamon. Okay. The Rambam always begins his halachas by telling us how many mitzvahs are going to be in those halachot. What the Rambam did was, to ensure he doesn't leave any mitzvah out, he first said, let me figure out what are the 613 biblical mitzvahs. So he wrote the 613 biblical mitzvahs, and then he said, okay, now I could write my work. I know I won't leave anything out. Yeah? So then in the beginning of each work, he tells you, okay, which mitzvahs am I covering here? So here we have 2 mitzvahs asay and 3 mitzvahs lo asay. Aleph, lafrish bechorot, to designate, set aside the firstborn. Beis, shelo yochal bechorot tamim chutz Yerushalayim. You shouldn't eat a firstborn animal when it's whole, when it's unblemished out of Jerusalem. Gimel, shelo yivdeh bechor, you shouldn't try to redeem a firstborn. Dalid, lafrish maser beima, to designate, set aside a tithe of the animals. Hey, shelo yigal maser beima, not to redeem a tithe of the animals. Wait a second, what does tithe of the animals have to do with Bechor? Says the Rambam, Bekalalti ha-maser im ha-Bechor, and I included the laws of the tithe of animals together with the laws of the firstborn animals, lefi shemaseh shneim echad, because they both have the same halachos. The akatuv klaloimon, the Torah put them together. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, ve'damam tizrok, you will sprinkle their blood. And mipi ha-shmuah lamdu, we have on tradition that pasuk is talking about, shezeh dam maser v'dam Bechor. That the Torah, in describing the sacrifice and the way in which we proceed with the sacrifice, the laws of the sacrifice, put together both the Maaser and the Bechor and said, okay, this is how you do both. So the Torah equated them, so that's why I'm putting them both together. Says the Rambam, Aleph, Mitzvata say, I hope you guys don't mind this tangent, but I figure if not now, then when? At least this way we'll know the laws of Bechor a little bit. One, Mitzvata say, Lafrish kol petrechem azcharim. We have a biblical mitzvah to set aside, to designate those that break forth through the womb. They're first out of the womb, the male first. Ben badam ben bebeimat Torah. This mitzvah applies to the human firstborn, to the pure animals firstborn, the kosher animal firstborn. Ben mimina chamor, or the donkey's firstborn. Ben shayu shlemim, ben shayu trefot. It doesn't matter if the animal is whole or the animal is trefa. It's got a terrible blemish, it won't live. Shinemal, the pasuk says, Kadeshli chol v'cho peter korechem b'vnei Yisrael ba'adam uva'beima. God says, sanctify for me the firstborn of Israel, be it Israel, the humans, or Israel's animals. V'kulan la'kohanim. And all these firstborn go to the kohanim. Beis, b'cho adam u'b'cho chamo nifdim. The firstborn human and the firstborn donkey, they get redeemed. And you pay the redemption to the coin. But the firstborn of the pure animal, nishchat ba'azara, gets slaughtered in the courtyard. Kishal kodshim kalim, like regular light kodshim. Zorkim damo umaktir murav kmo shebi'anu b'maseh ha'korbanot. You sprinkle the blood and you offer the innards the way we explained in the procession of the sacrifices. V'shar ha'basar nechal ha'kohanim. And the rest of the meat is given to the kohanim as korban food. Shnemar ha'chpadot tifteh et b'chor adam et b'chor ha'behemat ha'tmeh tifteh. Ach b'chor shor lo tifteh kodeshem uv'saram yielach. God says you redeem the firstborn animal. You redeem the firstborn impure animal. But the firstborn ox, which is a reference to all pure animals, do not redeem. They are holy, but the meat goes to you, to Aaron, to the Kohanim. Gimel, b'chol behemat teorah shehu ban mum, the firstborn of a pure animal. When it has a blemish, so now it is disqualified from being brought into the temple. It's got a blemish. You cannot sacrifice it. Ben shenolad b'mumo, be it that it was born with a blemish. Ben shenafal b'mum achar shehaya tamim, or it was born whole. And then only afterwards it got a blemish. Hareu lakohen. So then we say that firstborn animal cannot be sacrificed, but the animal belongs to the kohen. Im ratza ochlo b'chol makom, if he wishes to eat it, he could eat it anywhere, in Jerusalem, out of Jerusalem, anywhere he wants. O mochor, he could sell it. O machilo lemi sheyirtzeh, he could give it to anyone he wants to eat. Even to non-Jew, because that animal has no holiness. You can do whatever you want with it. Shneimar, the pasuk says, when that firstborn has a blemish, if it has any blemish, if it's a cripple, if it's blind, if it has any blemish, then it's no longer holy. The pure, the impure, everyone could eat it, just like you were eating a deer or you were eating a ram. It is the monetary asset of the Kohen. It belongs to him. Dalet, mitzvah lakdish b'chol b'mat Torah. It is a mitzvah to sanctify the firstborn of a pure animal. The Omar HaRezeh Kodesh. And a person should say, this is holy. Meaning, even though the Torah said the firstborn is holy, we have a mitzvah to designate it and say, this animal is hereby designated, it's holy. It's not enough that it was born firstborn. Lechatrila, you should designate it. Now the pasuk says, Takdish Hashem Elokecha. Sanctify it to Hashem your God. And if a person didn't sanctify it, then it gets its own holiness on its own. It's automatic. Nonetheless, there's a mitzvah to sanctify it. It has its holiness from the womb already. Meaning it's holy. Hey, mitzvah b'chol b'mat Torah nuheget ba'atzu b'chutz la'aretz. The mitzvah of the firstborn is applicable in Israel or in chutz la'aretz. Ben mevin b'chorot m'chutz la'aretz. But we don't import them. Shneimar v'achazah lefnei Hashem Elokecha masarti ganecha t'roshah v'tzreicha v'chot b'kachav tzonecha. The pasuk equates the tithe of the crops with the firstborn, mimakom shata mevi maasel dagan, to indicate that from the place where you would bring the tithe of the crops, which is only the land of Israel, atamevi b'chol bakal v'tzon. Only from there are you responsible to bring the firstborn animal. The Torah equates the firstborn animal with the tithe of the crops, with the maaser. Umimakom she'en atamevi maasel dagan, and from a place that you would not bring the tithe of the crops, meaning from chutz la'aretz, where we do not have all these mitzvahs with the crops, yet atamevi b'chol bakal v'tzon, don't bring your firstborn animal either to Israel. Elareu kechulin, but rather that animal, even though it's holy in a sense, we treat it as though it weren't holy, we wait for it to get a blemish, v'yachel b'mumo, and it's eaten once it's blemished. V'imevi, and let's say he brings it. The Mishnah says there were some wise aleks who wanted to import. They said, we want to be holy. We'll bring it into Israel. They wouldn't accept it. They said, get out of here. Ein mekablin, we don't accept it. Ein mekablin, men v'lo yikarev v'lo yachel b'mumo. it's not sacrificed, but rather we wait for it to get blemished and then it's consumed. Umitzvah zo noheget, and the mitzvah of the firstborn animal applies ben bifnei abayit ben shelo bifnei abayit. Be it when there's a temple and be it when not, kmo masal dagan, like the tithe. Ve'ina noheget b'mukdashin k'shen b'kdushatan, but it doesn't apply to a holy animal. If you designated an animal for the temple and then gave birth to its firstborn, it does not have a bechor. Kodem sheifdu ben kochem zveh ben kochem bet kabayit. If you haven't yet redeemed that animal, it doesn't matter if you designate it as a sacrifice or you designated it as a donation to the temple stam. Nonetheless, that animal's firstborn animal baby would not be a bechor. Hakol chayvin bechor b'mat Torah. Everyone is responsible to give their firstborn pure animal. Kohanim levim yisraelim. Kohen, Levi, and Yisrael, they all have a mitzvah of bechor. Ve'aval pisha bechor lakohen. Even though the kohen takes his own firstborn, but he has to first designate it, and if it's unblemished, he has to bring it and sacrifice it. If it gets a blemish, then he treats it like his own animal. Im nolad lo bechor, makrivo, makriv damo ve'emurav. If the bechor had a firstborn, he has to sacrifice the, and bring forward the blood and the innards, kmo shebi'anu, as we explained, v'ochel shar basar b'torat bechor. And the rest of the meat, he eats like the holy bechor. Shneimar, as the verse says, kol ha'bechor she'yivaled b'vkacha v'tzoncha zachar takdish la'Hashem Elokecha. The Torah says, all firstborn, to indicate, doesn't matter if you're a coin or not a coin, you still have to designate the firstborn. Aval bechor adam u'bechor b'matmea, but the firstborn of a human, or the firstborn of his impure animals, kohanim v'levim p'turim, kmo shebi'anu b'ilchot matnot kuna. The kohanim and levim don't have to do. A kohen does not have to redeem his firstborn son. A levi does not have to redeem his firstborn son. Chet, habechor nechal betoch shnato. The bechor must be eaten within the first year. Ben tamim ben balmum. Doesn't matter if it's whole and you're going to sacrifice it. Doesn't matter if it's blemished and the kohen will eat it as is. It must be eaten within the first year. Shnema, as the Torah says, Yifnei Hashem Elokecha tochlenu shana v'shana. V'chiyev omum b'sharecha tochlenu. The Torah says, eat it before Hashem year by year. And if it has a blemish, eat it by your gates. From when do you start counting that year? And that's going to be our sugya in the Gemara. So the Rambam tells us, we'll see the Rambam, even though this is what the Gemara is going to ask, when do you start counting the year? In tamu, if it's a whole animal that's going to be sacrificed, from the eighth day that you could sacrifice it, that's from when you start counting the year. And if it was born with a blemish, you start to count from the day he was born, on condition that you know that it's not a preemie. You know for a fact when it got pregnant and that the baby is fully formed. Because from the day it's born, you could eat it. But if you don't know for sure that it's not a preemie, then Allah says, monelo miyom ha-shmini, that you have to wait 8 days to make sure it's not a preemie. So then the count only starts from the eighth day, and that's our Gemara. Okay? Then the Gemara goes into what the Rambam goes into what's called a mum, what's not called a mum. The Rambam says, what happens if you waited past the year? So the one is in transgression, but he can still bring the bechor. What type of year are we talking about? The Rambam paskins, like we saw in Amud Aleph, Amachlokas, the Rambam paskins that you go by the lunar calendar, and if it became a leap year, then you gain that leap year. This is where the Rambam says, if one animal was born in Aleph of Adar Beis, and the other animal was born Tetzvav Adar Aleph, 15 days earlier, the next year is not a leap year. So then Aleph of Adar, this one becomes, its year is complete, 15 days before the next. You guys follow the, yeah, that's like a bar mitzvah. A kid could become bar mitzvah before his neighbor, even though his neighbor was born 15 days before him, right? You guys got it? Adar Aleph, Adar Beis. If you're born in Tesvav Adar Beis, and next year there's only one Adar, your bar mitzvah is Tesvav Adar. So you were born 15 days after him. Yeah? Or a guy was born Aleph or Beis Adar Beis, next year his bar mitzvah is on Beis Adar. The other guy was born Tesvav Adar Aleph, his bar mitzvah is Tesvav Adar. So the same thing, that's what the Rambam says here about the Bechor. You go by the lunar year. We don't give the kohen the bechor right away. Out of respect for him, we take care of the animal, so we'll get a bigger animal, a bigger gift. We take care of it, and then we give it to the kohen. Yeah. Okay. We set aside the Bechor and we wait until it has a blemish and then we give to the Kohen. No, that's not what farmers do. That's a good question. What do farmers do? They sell the animal to a guy. They let the guy own a part of the animal, and then a guy's animal does not have din bechor.
They sell the mother to the guy?
Yeah.
Every time?
Yeah, that's what Jewish farmers do in Israel too, yeah.
And if they forgot?
Then they call their rabbi. It's a good question.
Why don't they do it anymore?
Because it's very difficult to deal with a holy animal. What do you do with its shearings? What do you do with not leaning on it? It's problematic. And you're not allowed to inflict a blemish on it. You have to wait for it to get a natural blemish. Okay, and it's very complicated. What's called a permanent blemish? Only a permanent blemish takes it out of that state.
And they said that, what do they say? That there's a certain time where you have to let it get a blemish. So they won't accept it.
Right, in Chutzlard.
It's
another thing. I don't remember. Back to our Gemara. Yes?
Discuss here about the animal that in Israel, if he has a blemish, the Kohen can eat the animal. The question is, which kind of blemish? If it's something internal, the animal is still cooked.
You could open a Rambam, you could open Mishnayos Bechoros. It's a long list of blemishes. It says, I think, Rav or Rava spent a year or two on the farm to learn the blemishes, to know which is permanent, which is not permanent. The rabbi studied this.
Can we say that's something that we consider treif today, it will be kosher for them?
I don't know. Back to our Gemara. Ibayelu. So the people in yeshiva, the students asked the following question. From when do you start counting the year for a bechor? We said a bechor should be eaten within the year. We're at the bottom of Daf Vav Amud Beis. Three lines from the bottom. So the students asked in the yeshiva, when do we start counting the year for a firstborn animal? Abaye says, from the minute it's born. Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, from the time it's 8 days old, from the time it's fit to be brought as a sacrifice. And they're not arguing. Habitam. Habibalmum depends whether the animal is whole or has a permanent blemish. Balmum, if the animal has a permanent blemish. Mimatze achile. How could you tell me you start the count from the minute it's born if it has a blemish? But you can't eat it yet. Maybe it's a preemie. Maybe you have to wait to see that the animal isn't terribly ill and has a disqualification that makes it non-kosher. When an animal is born, if you can't tell if it's a preemie or not, if you don't know for a fact, you have to wait till it's 8 days old. And then you know if it's lived 8 days and everything's okay. A baby that's born prematurely. So the Gemara says, how could you start the count from the day it's born? You can't eat it from the day it's born. Just because it has a blemish doesn't mean it's kosher. Wait till it's 8 days old, and then you see that it's okay. So the Gemara says, No, we're talking about a situation where you know the animal was born on time, you know it wasn't born prematurely. In such a scenario, you could eat it the day it was born, and therefore, if it has a blemish, being that it's edible the day it's born, the count for the year starts the day it's born. An animal that is whole, that must be sacrificed, well then the Torah says, you cannot sacrifice it until 8 days old. Torah says, only from 8 days onward may an animal be brought as a sacrifice. So therefore, only from 8 days onward do we start the count of the year for a Bechor. Tanu Abanan. We have a Braisa that was validated. Bechad b'Nisan, Rosh Hashanah le'Chodashim. One in the month of Nisan is the beginning of the year with regard to the months. You want to know how you count the months? The first month is Nisan. Ve la iburin. And what?
That's why the parents broke off, right?
I don't know about that. I don't know. La iburin, the Gemara assumes now la iburin means that from the beginning of Nisan, Beis Din will contemplate making it a leap year. The Gemara will say that's not pshat, but for now that's how the Gemara understands it. Ve litrumat shekalim, and for taking from the new donations of Machtzis HaShekel for the sacrifice of the Korban Tamid. The Korban Tamid was brought to represent the whole congregation. Every day two sacrifices were brought representing the whole congregation. They'd give atonement to the whole congregation corresponding to those two sacrifices. We say every morning and every night, God is merciful, He will forgive us. That corresponds to the sacrifices that gained us forgiveness every morning and every night. So those sacrifices were brought from a donation of the whole congregation. Everyone would donate, starting from Adar, right? Machtzis HaShekel. We do Zechel Machtzis HaShekel. But they would all donate Machtzis HaShekel. Every Jew would give his half a shekel, and all those half a shekels combined would be the fund from which they would sponsor the sacrifices every morning and every afternoon. Well, when do you start the new fund? When do you start using the new donations for this year? You begin in one of the month of Nisan. That's when you start. The Yeshem Rim, and some people say that one in the month of Nisan is also the beginning of the year, Af L'Shechirut Batim, also when it comes to renting a house. If someone rented a house and said, you have it for the year, it's understood that he means until one in the month of Nisan, even if you only made the contract a month earlier. Okay, so that's the Braisa. And now the Gemara is going to break its head to figure out every word in this Braisa. And that's where we'll pick up Ezlachem next week.